Welcome to Making It.
This is a show where the husband-wife team of Anna and Robbie talk about making it in New York and making things in New York.
So what did we make today, Robbie?
I didn't make much today, so I obviously spent most of the day at work. And I can't really talk about what I'm working on there, but I did do one thing. So I had to fax. This like 6-page document. It's 2018, but I still had to fax this thing. That's the only way. I couldn't email it. I couldn't submit it online. I had to fax it to them. I obviously don't. It's 2018. I obviously don't have a fax machine. And so I was like looking at these, but I have a PDF, you know, that I wanted to send. So I was looking around at these online services, and there's like eFax and like these other ones. And eFax is $17 a month. $17
what
a month.
Fuck?
Yeah.
That's and like way more expensive than Netflix.
Yeah.
MoviePass.
And I read the fine print, and it's kind of like they don't make it easy to cancel, basically. So it would cost me basically $17
to
send this one fax out. So I was like, there's got to be a better way, right? So I looked at Twilio, and I've used Twilio before. They're a great service, and they're a service that deals with all things phone numbers. I've used them before for sending SMS messages. In other apps and stuff that I built. So I looked, and then they do have a beta product for faxes. So I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And what did it cost? Well, I had to buy a phone number. I had to buy a phone number, which cost me $1. And your first 100 faxes are actually free. And it took me all of like 5 minutes to write this little script that hit their API and sent this 6-page fax. So
it cost you $1.
Cost me $1. But now I have this phone number, too, that I can use for other things.
Okay. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Actually, who's going to call you? Ghosts? Maybe.
Maybe I'll make a chat bot or something. I don't know. It's actually kind of fun dealing with the Twilio API. You can programmatically send SMS stuff. And now I can programmatically send faxes.
Can we just punk people with a bunch of faxes that, like, and they, well, okay, I don't know who has a fax machine anymore, but, like, maybe my mom can, like, send some weird faxes that say that she won a trip to the Caribbean or something like that?
Yeah, I guess we could, but that's no fun.
Why wouldn't that be fun? That'd be really fun for me. Anyway, keeping it moving. Is that the only thing you did today?
Pretty much. I started rereading, and then, yeah, separately, I started rereading my book about setting up Japanese hand planes because we went to that Japanese woodworking event, Kezrokai, over the weekend, and I got my first finished plane. I already had a Japanese block plane.
Can you explain what a plane is?
Yeah, it's basically a piece of steel. It's a pretty primitive device, actually. It's just a piece of steel lodged into a block of wood, and you use it to basically take shavings out of wood. So you can use it to shape wood, you can use it to finish wood, and if you set up your plane correctly, if you set up a finishing plane right, you can get extremely glassy smooth finishes on wood that are like, it's unbelievable. You really have to just feel it for yourself. It's like, I can't believe this is just this simple like tool made this. It's actually better than sandpaper. And you know what machines will get you, because you can sharpen the blades really, really sharp.
So
I need to obviously set it up now. So I'm kind of rereading this book for the second time, which is about the proper setup. I think I have the steps pretty much memorized, but it's good to review because these tools, they last generally 50 years or more. It's like the kind of thing I could pass down. So it's worth it to like take your time and set it up correctly. What about you? What did you make today?
Well, so I had some friends come visit me today at work, and one of them is Van Styles slash Stefan Vanasco, who he's known for his photos of beautiful women, really. But he, over the years, has evolved so much as a photographer. And I think even though people like to see those photos from him, he chooses to shoot, you know, all kinds of other things like street photography and landscapes. And he has a really incredible eye for city shots in particular.
Yeah, I love those New York shots.
Yeah, he does something like some of those shots are, they remind me of like, you know, street photographers in the 90s.
Yeah.
Just like catching the right moment of someone like walking in front of the lens and it's blurry, but it's like the perfect composition, you know? And then my other friend Jovel, who I've known them about the same number of years through like my streetwear world life, my past streetwear life. And Jovel is from Alaska, and he's just like an incredible all around photographer too. Like, he does weddings, he does incredible portraits of people, and he's known for his like stunning photos of Alaska. I mean, like, it makes you, it's honestly like postcard worthy. Like, it makes you feel like you're there. And I really want to visit now after looking at his photos.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's like, oh man. Yeah, I'm not familiar with his work, but
I'll show you. Yeah, he's incredible. Also just such a good guy. I mean, both of them, they're such great people. Anyway, I'm totally off track about what I made, but I was inspired by them to, you know, they inspire me to want to make more things. Mm-hmm. And they came into the office because I've been pressuring both of them to make a podcast together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have really great conversations separately about, you know, all kinds of things relating to photography, social media, you know, the pressures of being a freelance photographer or hustling and all this stuff, having your own business, being your own marketer. And I think these are all like, I think they're top of mind for a lot of creative people. And I felt that other photographers and other creative people would benefit from hearing these conversations, you know, if they would just record them. Mm-hmm. And it's, Stefan lives in LA, Javel lives in Alaska, I'm in New York. And so I thought this would be a perfect opportunity for us to get together and get something recorded. And Stefan was like really resistant. Actually, at first he was really interested in the idea of making a podcast. And then he was like, oh, I don't know. And like, I feel like it took a little bit of time for him to come around to it again, mm-hmm. like in a real way. And he's like, okay, I'm coming to New York. And if I'm going to do this, you're going to be my first guest. And I'm going to interview you or something. Mm-hmm. And naturally, I'm a very shy person. I'm still new at this podcasting thing. And so I was really nervous about this.
Uh-huh.
Because these two are like, they're my role models in photography. And so I felt silly being the one interviewed. They insisted. So anyway, that'll come out at some point and I'll let you guys know how to find it. It's a kind of strange episode. Anyway, but that was a... It was just really good to connect with them today again and talk about photography and kind of revisit why I'm so passionate about the subject and that I need to do more of it and invest a little bit more of my weekend time on taking pictures.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
I wonder if I know you well enough to know that everything that you would say in there.
Huh. I bet you would, because I say the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
And I bet you're like, yeah.
Yeah. No. I just it's more that you just said, like, you know, spending like more of your weekend time. I feel like that's kind of like a recurring thing. Like, this past weekend, you brought your camera out and you were having like a great time with it. But it is sort of rare for you to bring your, Like, there's basically, it's rare for you to bring your SLR or your, you know, one of your big cameras with the nice lenses out. And I remember, you know, this past weekend you were saying how much, you know, you enjoyed shooting, and you were like shooting like all weekend. You were shooting like amazing stuff, and so yeah, I think you should just carry it around more, and it'll probably just happen naturally, you know.
I really enjoy, I enjoy it when it's happening and I'm taking pictures, but I don't enjoy carrying it around.
Yeah, that thing is pretty
basically the
lenient.
only thing that's keeping me from making more stuff is my incredible laziness.
I think it's,
Like,
yeah.
I think I'm just, I prefer at any given point to be in bed and like in my pajamas. Like, if someone gave me a choice between like, hey, you can pursue your passion today for free and like you can make some incredible stuff, or you can stay in bed and watch a movie and order order Seamless, it'd be really tough for me to want to do the thing. For real. I mean, I just enjoy my downtime so much, and I think maybe that means that like I need to take more of a break from working, or like I don't know, but I like it's really hard to pursue that creative stuff when you spend so much energy like you know on your day job. And I love anchor, and
Well, I
that
guess
it's
the,
not really, it's not a knock on like the day job, it could be
yeah,
anything.
but I guess we still go out like a decent amount. Like we went out
Oh,
to dinner
okay,
today,
fine.
you
Yeah, you're
know.
right. Okay, fine.
But
So
do but
it's
like
not just work. It's also our social lives are fucking cray.
but I guess what I'm saying is like if you just carry your camera around more, even on like,
Oh yeah,
you
I
know,
guess so.
normal, like, you know, like we go hang out with friends in places, like having your camera around. I do agree though, like that the thing is kind of a beast with that 1.2 Canon 50mm lens. That thing is a pretty like heavy. It's a
It's like
pretty
a big
big,
piece. It's a piece of
yeah.
glass. You're like carrying around a big jug of glass with
Yeah.
you, no matter. Like,
And it's also kind of fragile. You don't want to like bang it around. It's you have to be careful with it. Yeah,
yeah.
it is, there is some overhead in carrying it around. But I think if you carried it around more, you probably would shoot more.
Yeah, maybe. So one of the other things that happened today is we dropped by the ceramic studio that I've been working at, or I took a class at, and
What's it called?
it's called Choplet Ceramic Studio in Williamsburg.
I already knew that, but I just.
Oh yeah, good one. But I've been taking a couple classes there, over the last couple years, over the last year or two, and I started out with like one Saturday class, and Robbie was in there with me.
Yeah.
And we had made a couple bowls with the help of our instructor. We really, what it was like
It was just the throwing
it was
part.
just like throwing clay onto the wheel and then just spinning it around a little bit. And then he would walk, this instructor named Damien would walk around and be like, oh, actually, you should do it like this, and literally like fix it for us.
Yeah. But also he centered the clay. Like all we did was like the pulling. Like he did the centering, he did the, you know, everything else, yeah.
And so we have like five or six bowls from that first class that are garbage. Would you
Yeah.
agree?
Yeah.
We use them all the time, but they like are disgusting.
They're just like so thick and like
They're
they're
like,
just so thick and they're like really oddly proportioned. Like we have one that's like the angle of the walls of the bowl are very like kind of flat, so it's somewhere between a plate and a bowl, but it doesn't really know what it wants to be.
yeah,
And it's like really thick and heavy.
it's really, I mean, it's great for certain types of foods, but
Yeah.
like, anyway, point is, we started off there a couple years ago, 2 years ago maybe,
Yeah.
and now, after a couple of different wheel intensive classes, I feel like I've finally gotten the hang of ceramics. So we went to pick up some of our stuff today, or some, all of my stuff from the latest class, and I came out with, I think, 12 pretty decent pieces, bowls, cups, and one mug. And I glazed everything white so they all look the same, but I did a lot of like experimentation with the glaze, with like matte glaze and shiny glossy glaze. And so I feel like I've learned a lot just from the time that I spent in this last round of classes.
Yeah, I would say that it's night and day difference. Even from our last set of stuff that we did over at Columbia Clay Works.
Yeah.
But yeah, your stuff today that came back today looks
I mean,
so pro.
it's not perfect. It's definitely not. It's far from pro, but like it for me feels at least like way better than it was when I first started. And for me that like that's totally the goal.
Yeah, maybe it's like prosumer.
It's pro enough for me to gift to friends and for them to actually use it. And now I'm just having trouble deciding like who gets what because they're like children. They're like ch actually children to me. I feel like I've spent so much time with them that it's like hard for me. But I want, and I also want to give people the right thing that they'll want to use, you know?
So, knowing that your ceramics, your bowls, and your cup came out so much better than everything else, what would you say are the lessons you'll take from this last time that, like what did you learn this last go around that made it sort of click?
I think I learned to be more patient this time around. I think, oh, yeah. So I think what I learned is that everything, and this is gonna sound like I'm trying to be poetic, but I assure you I'm not, but everything revolves around the center, like the centering of a wheel. The centering of the clay on the wheel, right? Like it all starts from that one like ball of clay that you throw onto the middle, and if you don't get it perfectly centered, nothing else is gonna work. And so you have to spend the time to build the foundation of this lump of clay like spinning around on a wheel. You spend most of your time really just like massaging it, making sure it feels comfortable like where it is. And that as it spins around, it's not getting pushed in any one direction because it could be just like a slight wobbliness, but at that speed and like if you continue to build up with some more height in the cylinder, like any little imperfection like that or like imbalance is going to be so exacerbated by the centripetal force, centrifugal force, one of those two things. We'll look it up later. No big
Centripetal
deal.
force.
Okay, whatever. SAT words. It's been a long time since I was since I took the SAT, so yeah. But for real, so we definitely, you know, in the class we focused on that a lot, and I think having that understanding of the fundamentals of ceramics work, I was able to better practice the actual centering, and then and it actually made the rest of the process a lot easier.
Interesting. Yeah, centering is it's one of the more difficult parts of it, I thought.
Cool. Well, those are pretty much, I think that's pretty much all we worked on today in terms of making it. And I think that's pretty good for the first day. I
Yeah.
think we can do this.
I can just keep it up every day.
Do you feel confident that we can make something, or not necessarily make something every day? Like, we don't need a finished product every day, but we need to like
Push something forward,
push, yeah, like progress and or research or think about it. Like I want, but like I really want to keep it up and let it be something that we can learn from.
Same here.
Cool. Well, if you've been listening all this time, if you're one of my five friends who are listening to this right now, thank you. We really appreciate the support of our friends and family along this journey of life, first of all, but secondly, like, just, you know, our actual day-to-day hustle and grind. Yeah, and the podcast is another thing that we are trying to make, right, daily, and it's just a chance for us to check in and share what we got going on with our peeps and just have a little fun with it.
Okay? Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Cool. Thank you.